Welcome to the study of God's Word with pastor and author Steve Mays, recorded at Calvary Chapel South Bay in Gardena, California. To learn more about the many resources available through Light of the Word, visit us online at lightoftheword.org or request a copy of our latest catalog at 1-800-339-WISE. And now, here's Pastor Steve to take us into our study.
So we come now into chapter 18, and it really is kind of a life of ease, and that's kind of the whole topic we're going to look at. And he says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes. Now, if you notice in chapter 17, verse 6, he says this, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And then if you go back to the very end of the book in the 21st chapter, I think around verse 25, it quotes this scripture again. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so the interesting thing in the book of Joshua, we find that Joshua took them in to the promised land. And Joshua stood before them and said, choose you today if you're going to follow the Lord. And so he told them, he looked at them and understood the nation of Israel. He had been with them. He had watched them the way that they had dealt with Moses. He saw the rebellion within their own hearts. He knew that they murmured and complained. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And then he said, make a decision. And he stood before them. And they said, we will serve the Lord with all our hearts. And Joshua said, I don't think so. And they said, no, Joshua, we will serve the Lord with all our hearts. And then Joshua began to divvy up the land. And he gave the land there to what they were to do. They were to occupy certain portions of the land. There were 12 tribes. They were now going to occupy that area of Canaan. They had driven out the enemy, but some of the enemy was still there. Kind of unique and kind of interesting, I believe that God allowed them to stay there. And the reason I say that is that we are in this body. And it would be such a wonderful thing for God to take me out of this body so I wouldn't have to deal with sin. But as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to be tempted. And I'm going to be tried. And the interesting thing that we cannot get through our minds and our hearts is that it is a test before God if you're going to look to God or you're going to go with your feelings. So there are moments in your life that you're not going to feel good. So is it going to dictate or are you going to learn to worship the Lord? And there's things that are going to happen to you in your relationships on this earth that are going to be devastating. But the question is, are you going to look to the Lord from whence cometh your help, or are you going to look to man and try to solve the problems? So God allowed you to stay in this body for a reason. Otherwise, he would have taken us home. So your spirit is redeemed, your body is not. Now, when you are resurrected or you are raptured, then this body is going to put on incorruption. And God is then going to redeem your body. And then he's going to give you a new body. And that new body, you will never, ever be able to sin again, because God redeemed the body and he's already redeemed your spirit. So the great warfare in your life is that God has got a hold of your spirit, but he's allowed you to stay in your flesh. And the war is inside, and the question is which way you're going to live your life. So if you feed the flesh, you're going to lose. If you feed the spirit, you're going to win. And so every decision for the rest of your life needs to be understood between light and darkness, between that area of God and Satan. And there are no gray areas in my life. And so Paul said in Romans 6, he said, Whoever I yield my bodies to, I become the servants of those. So if I use my eyes to lust, I become the servant of that thing. I begin to lust. Or if I use my heart, my hands, my mouth, I yield my members unto unrighteousness. So the key is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Getting a hold of your spirit and beginning to take the promises and then learning to say, I reckon the old man dead. And I begin to see what God wants me to do. And so your body for the rest of your life is going to challenge you. Now I say all that to say this. When God drove out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Termites, and all the otherites, He left some of them in the land. Basically, the war was over, but there would be a few little areas that they would have to drive out. And I think it's really the wisdom of God. He didn't drive them out so you would have nothing to do. And so when Joshua begins to give to them, this is where you go, Dan, and this is where you go, Naphtali, and this is where you go. Now they had to understand that there were little pockets of the enemy, and they had to drive them out. And for 12 tribes, this is what it says, and they did not drive out the enemy. And they did not drive out the enemy. And so the enemy became stronger. And finally, the enemy began to drive the children of Israel out. And so what we have here in the story of Dan is that God gave them the inheritance, but in his mind, he didn't feel like he got what he deserved. But this is what God gave him. But now we find Dan is beginning to go beyond what God gave him. And God said through Joshua, you need to go out and hew down the trees and drive out the enemy because you have some of the finest territory in all of Canaan. But they were lazy. They didn't want to do it. And so they went out looking for a piece of land that there would be no enemy or no battles or no confrontation. And so they sent the spies out looking. And all of a sudden, the whole story begins to unfold, and we'll pick up some of that next week. But they were out looking, but they were not in the will of God. And they did not want to fight. They wanted to have an easy life. And all of a sudden, when they finally got what they wanted, it's interesting that when the Assyrians came in, Dan was the first tribe that was taken out. And secondly, Dan was the one tribe that isn't mentioned in the book of Revelation where there would be 144,000 Jews preaching the gospel. Dan was not in that list. Levite was mentioned, but Dan was disqualified. And the reason why is because Dan set up idols and caused all of Israel to stumble. And it all happened because I didn't want to fight a battle. I didn't want to pursue an issue. I didn't want to cause a problem. So I'm going to flow with it and chill out and allow this thing to go on. And I'm going to move on and move out of this marriage and move out of this situation and move out of this church and go here and go there. And I don't want to cause no waves. And yet God is saying, I put you here. And what we do so well in our life is we run. Because we don't like conflict and we don't like warfare. And when all of a sudden I begin to realize that for the rest of my life, the territory that God has given to me is the very best. And what God is saying is, listen, I know that you want to run because you think it's safer, but it's safer here. In this area of your life, you're going to have to work here, labor here. You're going to have to fight the enemy and overcome the enemy. We don't think that way. And so we kind of slide through life. And that's exactly what has happened even through the New Testament. Give me the crown. I don't want the cross. Help me minister, but I don't want to have to study. And help me to have a ministry, but help me not have to sacrifice. And Lord, give me a marriage, but let me play racquetball. And give her the responsibility. And God, give me kids, but I don't want to train them. That's her responsibility. And see what happens very carefully is that we shift the responsibility because we enjoy not dealing with issues. Well, if you don't deal with your children, and you don't deal with your single life, and you don't deal with the areas of your life, and you don't understand that God loves you and has put you exactly where you are, you're going to have problems. So as long as Joshua was alive, God gave him victory. But you come to the very next book, and it's the book of Judges. And the theme of the whole book of Judges is every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Why? Because there was no king. And when Christ is dead in my heart, and I begin to run looking for the easy life, then I'm going to do what I think I should be doing, accept the things, make the decisions, marry the people I want to marry, discipline my kids the way I want to, because I'm out of control. And then when things begin to happen in my life, I get angry and I blame God. And we find this over and over and over again. In fact, it goes on to say in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He told us about certain things and warned us, but Dan felt that he was not given what he deserved. Now, God gave it to him. And when God gives you something, the potential is there, but you're going to have to work through it. He gave the manna, but he didn't put it inside the tent. He put it outside the tent so they would have to get up out of their sleeping bags and go get it. And if they didn't, they were going to starve. So he gives it, but he wants you to go after it. The promises of God are right there, but you got to dig down a little bit under the surface to find the promises of God. In other words, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. And so when I understand that this area that God has given to me, maybe this child, maybe a ministry, maybe a home, maybe a situation, maybe your car, it's just you hate the car. You don't like anything about the car. It drives you crazy. You need to learn to worship God in the midst of that jalopy. Or all of a sudden, things aren't going well at work. What is God doing? He's asking you to trust Him. Now, you might think you deserve better, and you might want something better, and I'm sure God wants to give it, but the lesson is you need to learn you shouldn't move because of a situation. And I challenge you tonight that 90% of the problems in our life is we move because we don't like a situation. We're unwilling to work through it, unwilling to see God in it, unwilling to find God through it. And that takes tremendous faith and the ability that God never makes a mistake in your life. And if you know that God never makes a mistake, then the very thing that God gave you is the thing that God wants you to have. And all of a sudden you begin to realize, okay, what do I need to pray? How do I work through this kid? How do I work through this relationship? How do I fellowship here? What do I do? In other words, if I could stop running and accept that this is what God wants, it'd be a wonderful thing within my life. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes because the king is dead. And when I begin to start making decisions and I begin to start leading my life, what I'm really saying is that, Lord, you're not the Lord of my life, and you're not the one who died. Therefore, I'm out of control, and I hope you bless my life. And I'm just like Micah. Kind of an interesting story. Lord, I know you're going to bless me because I got a Levite. What are you going to do? Rub your lucky rabbit's foot and say, praise God. Got a priest. Total violation. Nothing makes sense. But in their minds, this is what he wanted. Micah wanted a shrine, the Levite wanted a priest, and I guarantee you that when all of a sudden Satan sees what you want and Satan knows what you desire, he's going to put these things together and you're going to be in the midst of a world of hurt. Because if you are tempted with drugs, I guarantee you the enemy is going to make sure that you find the drugs, or you run into somebody, or an old friend calls, and the temptation is right in front of you. You can't afford it. You need to understand that Satan is seeking to destroy. And when all of a sudden this priest went looking, he found Micah. Now, what's the chances of that? Micah, a very wealthy man, desiring to have a shrine. This priest looking to have a position. The two of them is a match in hell. And all of a sudden, Micah has what he wants. And all of a sudden, this priest is now the priest of Micah's home. Now the Danites come over. And they take all the things out of Micah's house and they take the priest with them. And so now the priest says, my heart's glad because I'm being promoted. Surely God's in this. But the end is total destruction. In other words, I wanted this so bad. And I think that if we could just slow down and begin to understand that in Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his doing. And we find that Dan became that tribe that brought once again this horrible idolatry into the life of the children of Israel. The Benjamins were the ones that brought immoral life. And it all started, as I said last week, in a very simple way. Just mom wanting to kind of build something, and the son desiring to please the mom, I'll build a shrine, and a Levite looking for a job, and the Danites looking to have a religion, and then Jeroboam wanting to make it a kingdom, and finally God destroying the whole thing. It's always that way. Now, what went wrong? Basically, is when the Lord is not the Lord of your life, you don't double check. And so we find, very simply, that these things happen. And he goes on to mention in verse 6, as I said, and here in verse 1, there was no days, no king. And notice a couple things. Number one, there was no king. But secondly, there was no trust. You see, when you look at the tribe of Dan, they were unwilling to trust God. Now, let me try to break this down in an interesting way. They were looking for their inheritance. Now, God gave them their inheritance. In other words, they were unwilling to trust God. They wanted to find what they felt they deserved. And isn't that what life's all about? God, I want this. Lord, you want me to have this. I don't want what you want. I want this. So if I don't get what I want, I'm going to go find it for myself. And God says, fine, go. And we are walking through South Bay and running into walls and lusting after everything and hitting everybody, and they're beating us up, and we don't understand what's going on in our life. What is the will of God for your life? That you set before the Lord, you wait upon God, but you got to trust Him. And what it means to trust God is that you accept what He's placed in your life. And maybe some of you are married to a non-believer. You need to trust God with all of your heart. Or maybe some of you are beginning to realize that there are things going on at work. You need to really trust God. He was unwilling to trust God with all of his heart. And Joshua gave him, but he didn't want it. And so he started to look. And I think that's the number one problem. The man in the book of Psalms or Proverbs looking out his window to the woman. The question is not that he was looking out the window. The question is, why was he looking out the window? You see, he wasn't satisfied. If he was satisfied with his wife, he'd never be looking, but he was unsatisfied, therefore he looks. And I think if I could teach you anything, you need to listen to what you do. Listen to what you say. Listen to what you look at. And learn to talk to yourself. You know, why am I staring and lusting? Or why do I want this power? Or why do I have to have it my way? So often, that's what God's trying to go after. And we've seen it in Samson, willing to die. God was able to restore him. And once again, Joshua gave him, but Dan refused. And all of a sudden we find, and then there was no fight in Dan. There was no strength or fortitude or the ability of a man or ability of the woman to stand against the enemy and say, no, And that's the church today. You know, the ACLU just kind of walks over the church and we don't know what to do. Somewhere in our lives, we've got to make a stand. You're going to have to stand up to your kids. You're going to have to stand up to your spouse. You're going to have to stand up to that boyfriend and say, listen, if you touch me one more time, I'm going to call Pastor Steve and tell him. In other words, I don't want you saying, well, it might offend him. Offend him. Don't mess with him. And so we have a people that are unwilling to stand up. And so, and we expect everybody to teach our kids. No, we're going to teach our kids. We're going to deal with the issues. We're going to grow up. That's what Dan didn't do. Dan looked at what God gave him. Too much work. I'm going to go find someplace else. And so I drift over here, find a better relationship. This marriage is too hard. I'm going to go find another wife. Hey, it's a difficult thing no matter which way you look at it. Well, I got these kids. They're hard. I'm going to get rid of them. Well, they're going to be there for the rest of your life. I got this dating thing that she's really kind of a pain. Well, you know, you better talk. Well, I'm just going to go to another church. Well, you just messed that church up because you went there. So, stop. Say to God, I'm not moving until you change me. And I'm willing to be found out. And I'm willing for you to touch my life and do a work. But God, this is the cup you've given me to drink. And I don't understand it, but if you will give me the strength, I'll drink it for the glory of God. And oftentimes we won't do that. It's amazing to me. My own life. And there was no conviction. Very simple. They knew what they should do. They knew what they wanted to do. And they went with what they wanted to do. There was no conviction whatsoever in their life. And then they went looking. Five men went out looking. What were they looking for? They were looking for a place they could get away from God, get away from everybody else. And so we find in this passage an incredible thing. And so I see here, and the children of Dan sent their families, five men from the coast, great men looking, go search the land and once again look and search. And that's all I want to talk to you about tonight. Why are you moving all over the place and what are you looking for in your life? Well, I'm looking for that perfect gal. There's no such thing. I'm looking for that great guy. You say, well, I want a guy like Pastor Steve. You know, he teaches the word. Well, you get me home and I'm a nightmare. I want a guy like Pastor Rob. You know, he's just always smiling. Hey, we work with him. I'll tell you about him. You know, there's two sides. There's a side that you see and the side that we are. There's a moment where all of a sudden God is ministering, and then there's a moment when I walk in the flesh. There's a moment where I look at my wife and say, man, I can't believe you. There's a moment I look and teach, and the problem is when she's sitting right there and I'm teaching about how much I love my wife, and she says, it's good for me. I go home, and how was the study? Well, the guy didn't know what he was talking about, but it's pretty good. And so we have fun. But here's what I'm saying. It's that when all of a sudden you think you got it mastered, be careful. Because God is a master at bringing things into your life for no other reason but to see if you're going to trust Him. And if God took your gift away, would you still love Him? Now, until you learn to drink that cup, then you're out of God's will. And when you're out of God's will, everything's going to go wrong. So before you go running, or before you fight, or before you give up, find out what God's will is in your life. Go slow.